Did you have an imaginary friend growing up, or maybe just wish you had? Well, Victoria's Open Space Gallery, that's on Lower Fort Street, is hosting an exhibition on imaginary friends in March, and they're on the hunt for submissions right now from the community. Ted Hebert is a Seattle-based artist and a curator of this exhibition and joins me on the phone now. Hello, Ted.
Hi, David. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, this is great. This is kind of a whimsical exhibit. What gave you the idea to do this show on people's imaginary friends?
Well, you know, I've been interested in the imagination for a long time and really trying to build conversations where we think about the imagination seriously as something that's really all around us, but we don't usually give, you know, too much credence to. So I want to try and just create a forum where we can talk a little bit more about that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I teach photography at the University of Washington, Bothell. Okay. And one of the challenges, I think, for photography, but for technology, for the world that we live in, is to actually look beyond all of the things that are obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Cameras are a great metaphor for it because cameras take pictures of things that are there. But to think creatively about the camera is then to kind of ask yourself the question of what the camera is missing and to try and bring that into the frame in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this is a sort of one of those forms of challenging, you know, the parameters of the camera, trying to make the world more imaginary instead of just repeating what the camera already sees.
Now, Ted, did you have an imaginary friend growing up? I mean, you can level with us. Now, I've heard that your wife may have had one or a few.
Yes, she had a few. Yeah. You know, I think the imagination comes in all sorts of shapes, sizes, forms. I didn't have friends with names, but I sure imagined a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Imagining the sky, cloud gazing, thinking about the mountains coming to life around me. I loved to play pretending to be animals, pretending to, you know, be different characters from books that I was reading, this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. That's why you became an artist, clearly. It's
probably not unrelated.
Yeah. Now, for those people listening who are thinking, you know, maybe I'd be good for that because they have an imaginary friend. But how did they go about making a submission? How did they get involved in this?
Well, there's a link up through the Open Space website. I'm just to scroll down a little bit on the main page, but there's a call for participation where I'm inviting people to make an artwork, take a picture, write a story, you know, whatever form the imagination takes for them. And whatever form of friend they want to create out of their imaginations. In some ways, you know, it's an open concept, which is always a kind of challenging framework for people because I don't know what other people think of as the imagination, and I don't know what kinds of relationships they'd like to have with their own imaginations that they might not have already. I see this as an opportunity to, you know, start to have that conversation with ourselves. And so, you know, in a sort of pragmatic way, there's a link on the website where you can fill in a short description, enter your name and email address, upload an artwork.
Okay.
That artwork will come to me, and I will be posting them in a virtual technology space around downtown Victoria.
Ah.
So it uses a technology called augmented reality.
Nice.
Which basically would allow you to walk around downtown with the app on your phone, looking through the phone's camera and seeing different artworks through the camera.
That's awesome.
Populating the city space.
That's very cool.
Mm-hmm.
I like
that. I think
that.
It'll be fun.
Yeah, that's that. We want something interactive. You know, I want to be able to almost reach out and touch that. I want to see that piece of art against something that I already know.
Well, and it's a nice metaphor too, right? Because technology can give us access to things that we don't see with the naked eye, but the imagination can too. And so to fuse those two things together and to bring some of those, you know, imagined and imaginary spaces into the downtown core, I think will be a really interesting experience for people.
Ted, this isn't the first time you've done this exhibit, I understand. What kind of submissions have you seen in previous iterations of the project?
Well, previously I've done it mostly just with my students, and so it's never been in at quite this scale or in quite as open a way. But, you know, with my students, some of them have had actual imaginary friends, and then they've, you know, created some kind of photographic drama to try and represent that, you know, whether it was a playmate at a, you know, pretend tea party or whether it was a monster under the bed. You know, imaginary friends aren't always necessarily nice. Some of them, you know, have thought about ghosts or lost loved ones. At a student who did this just beautiful, beautiful picture and reflection on a grandparent who, you know, used to leave her hairpins around the house. And even after she had passed away, they were finding hairpins mysteriously appearing. So this, for the student, it was sort of an indication that there was somebody still around. maybe just in her mind and imagination, but maybe not. Other people talking about emotional attachments to technology, you know, the cell phone, for example, mm-hmm. we can look at that as a device that really captures our imagination and our attention. We could also personify it and think about the cell phone as a friend, connecting us to a, you know, a world of people that we love. To try and just sort of run with those possibilities, I think, is a fruitful conversation to have.
What kind of feedback did you get from people who had submitted imaginary friends?
No, there are loosely, I think, three types of people, at least in the classes that I've taught this project. There are some who, you know, have had imaginary friends or who have well-developed relationships to the imagination, but they usually haven't had the chance to talk about it in a serious way before. You know, so they sort of really love the opportunity. There are also, of course, people who think that it's just ridiculous. They think it's really dumb. And that's wonderful, too, because it gives us a chance to ask why we don't appreciate the imagination more, what it is about the imagination that we think isn't serious, and why can't it be taken, you know, a little bit more seriously, I suppose.
Right.
And then, you know, a third type of student who would really like to have a deeper or richer relationship with the imagination, would like to, you know, wishes they had an imaginary friend but didn't and feel sort of let down or disappointed. But then, you know, this also is an opportunity to talk about how we actually still can make the imagination more concrete in our lives. You know,
right.
It's not just in the world of art that this happens. It, you know, happens all around us to the extent that we engage it.
And it shows there's no shame in having an imaginary friend. Ted, I'm excited about this exhibit. I look forward to seeing it when it comes up. We've got to go now, but I really appreciate your chatting with us this afternoon.
Great. Thanks for having me, David.
Thank you very much. That was Seattle artist Ted Hebert, who is asking Victorians to submit artistic renderings of their imaginary friends for an upcoming exhibit at Open Space Gallery in Victoria. That'll run March 11th to April 9th. You can find more details, how to submit, all that at openspace.ca. We'll also post a link on our CBC Vancouver Island Facebook page.